I was to put a title to the sermon, it's Setting Limits. Or maybe I'd call it Boundaries. There's a book for teenagers about boundaries in dating and in romance. There's a book about, for parents, there's probably more than one book, about setting boundaries for your kids. You know, what to do if a stranger approaches you, things like that. Setting boundaries. But what's interesting, even though we have all of these, our sinful nature wants to put boundaries on God. We set boundaries for God about what He can tell us to do and what He can't tell us to do. We set boundaries on God about truth. Things I believe are true and nope, I just can't have that. We set boundaries upon God about what we want Him to know about, as if we can really control that, and we can't, and that is what's in our heart. So we all have our secret stuff in our heart. Our cravings, our desires, our coveting, that is wrongful kinds of desire, all of that about our mind and our thoughts. You know, when we're children, we blurt out everything. Well, maybe I did. I don't know if you did. It got me into more trouble. When I got older, I finally got the memo, the lesson, you don't have to say something just because you think something. And when I became a pastor, well, I'm not going to go there. You have to be really careful about what you say, even though you're thinking it. And sometimes we don't want God to have those thoughts. We want to keep them in the dark parts of our brain. Job has had a miserable time. If you remember the narrative of Job, he was losing everything. His friends had different kinds of approaches about why this was all happening. That's a common question, isn't it? Why is this happening? Why didn't God do something? Why did God do something as if He caused this? Why? And his friends come to him, and some of them, they want him to confess. You must have done something wrong, Job, for God to be doing this to you. And sometimes we think that way too, even today. When something bad happens, we go, what did I do? So if you follow along on the Old Testament reading, you'll see the kinds of questions that God asked Job. Now, the first few verses, you'll notice this starts at verse 4, they're not there. In the first three verses, God basically tells Job, you better stand up and prepare for a confrontation. Prepare for battle. In the old King James, it would say, gird your loins. That means get yourself in fit and fortified and get ready. Bring it on. Because Job has complaints. And Job has been complaining. And now, God asked him a series of questions. Because that's the confrontation. Answer me. Tell me this, Job, and then you have the questions. And so where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And when you go through these questions, you know, God is asking Job about who set the measurements of everything, or who stretched out the land, and who laid out the line for this design on our planet. And who put in the foundations, the footings, that the earth would stay intact? And who built the cornerstone for all of this? And then he goes, who formed the seas? And then who made the lands that almost act like walls that hem in or hold the seas back? Who did all of that? And then who commanded the morning and the stars and the angels? And who brought that on? You know, and then he goes, you know, and if you follow this down, even it brings up who created heaven And who created the place of eternal death? Who did all this? And who comprehends the expanse of the earth? Who understands our globe, our planet? Man's questions stop us from listening to God's answers as to who. We get stuck on why, what, where, when, how. Almost like if we were a newspaper reporter and we had to write a story about some event. And we want justification. We want the answers. We want why has or is or why did this happen. Man's questions often look outside of himself because the subtext is, I don't deserve this. I am innocent. And Job had told his friends he hadn't done anything wrong. And God had told the devil that Job is a righteous man and that the devil could test him any way he wanted to, except he couldn't take his life. So God knew that Job was a man of faith. But that didn't make him innocent. And so Job, I found this quote, truthfully, Job does not answer any of our questions, and neither does the Lord. The fact that the Lord answers Job is a great gift of love and mercy, but he does not provide the answer Job seeks. Rather, he teaches him about the relationship between God and man, who God is, and who man is in relationship to him. When we rely on our own understanding, when we only trust our own thinking, when we only believe our own answers, and when we are focused on our own expectations, guess what kind of problems happen? That's when we no longer start and continue to live our life to the glory of God. We live our lives to the glory of self. It's my life, and I want to do what I want to do. And I have my rights. Does that sound like today? When we don't get the answers from God that we demand, that we pray for, that we beg, that we cry about, and we stay or get stuck on those kinds of questions, we will not hear God's answers. But God's answers are in the questions. His questions to Job are questions that reveal God's love, that God created all of this. And we learn in Genesis that with each day of creation, God said, it is good. And he had set this in order. And we learn that in Genesis that our sin, the sin of Adam, brought destruction, decay, death, and consequences. And yet also in Genesis, God said, it won't stay that way because I have a plan. And all throughout the Old Testament, God is constantly telling, I have a plan for you. And God is the one that not only set everything up in order, but God is the one who established people, his people, and brought him his truth, brought to the people his truth. And in that, that's where the focus was to be. It wasn't so much why, where, how, what. It begins with who. And it's not a focus of who on earth, but it's a focus of who in heaven oversees and watches us and cares about us. for God created the heavens and the earth, and he created because he chose to love people. And he created Adam and Eve, and he's loved people ever since. And he's created all that we need for body and life and for soul and health. He's created all that we need. There is nothing outside of his knowledge. There is nothing outside of his power and his rule and authority. There is nothing that is separated from God's oversight and his wisdom and his care. In a sense, God is like the parent that has, you know, and I always thought my mom had eyes in the back of her head. You know, because when she was facing the kitchen counter, she still knew what I was doing behind her in the cookie jar. God is even better than that. God watches over us with never sleeping, no holidays, and no breaks. What he's telling Job is when you come to the answers of who did all of this, you come to the answer of who loves you the most. And it's God. And out of his love, he was showing mercy because nobody deserved any of it. Nobody deserved the flowers and the birds and the trees and the nice weather, the sunny weather, the rain for the crops. Nobody deserves any of the seasons and the ordering of it. Nobody deserves snow for Christmas time, and nobody deserves Easter lilies for in April, and nobody deserves, and on we could create our list. You may have your list, but God provided. And it is God's mercy that is revealed to Job. You and I, in this chaotic time of the virus, a lot of people have been asking why and who and what and how. Have you noticed that? It gets relived on the news every day. How many of you have stopped watching the news? See? Yeah, you're tired of it. And man comes up with his own answers, don't they? For some, it's the president's fault. For some, it's China's fault. You know, they're all looking to point fingers. And they're all looking to blame for the ways that we frustrate humanity on this planet. We have a hard time believing in authority. It shouldn't surprise us. We have a hard time believing the authority of God, trusting in the authority of God, and following the authority of God. Even in Romans 13, God says you're supposed to obey government unless it contradicts clearly the scriptures or God's word. And so we have people that say, government can't tell me to wear a mask, and I thank you for wearing masks today. And government can't tell me to social distance, you know. I'm a hugger. I need those hugs, you know. The government can't. And on we have this. And you know what? Before that kind of language ever happened with the government for COVID-19, we've been doing that to God. Nobody can tell me about my language. Nobody can tell me about my morals. Nobody can tell me about my sexuality. Nobody can tell me about what I have to believe. Nobody can tell me about my goals in life. And on, we have this rejection of authority. I've read where some people believe God sent this virus to humble America. I don't see a lot of humbling of America. He may have done that. But we also see in the Old Testament when Israel wasn't that humble either. And God did some mighty things there that were not pleasant. Why is it so hard for us to learn the lesson? For us to recognize, if we stop asking all the who, what, where, when, and hows of this world, and we focus on God, and we yield our life into his hands, who tells us he gives us life and breath and all that we need, who tells us that even if we die, we will live in Christ, who tells us he has given us an everlasting and shows us an everlasting love, who again and again shows us his grace, his mercy, and brings peace in the time of chaos. I think our stress levels for Job and for us would decrease if we could focus on God. I think our stress levels would go down if we looked at the scriptures and turn less to blaming and looking and proclaiming our own innocence. And so here we have this life in Christ that is to be to the joy of God and for our benefit. So as God talks to us today in his word, it's sort of like, get ready, people. Get ready to give an answer. Who has done all of this? And the answer is, the Lord our God. Amen.